Well, let's get some trends as far as books concerned this morning. Each year, we have with us on the line Amazon's editorial director, Sarah Nelson, because every year they get their editors to read hundreds of thousands of pages of books, hopefully all in the same book, not just a little bit of each, but all sorts of categories. And we're here to talk about some of the best books for 2015 as we come up to the end of the year. Good morning, Sarah. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So let's talk about some of the best books for 2015. Mm-hmm. What categories are they usually in?
Well, we read across all categories, and in addition to doing our 100 Best of the Year, which is sort of our main list, we also do a bunch of lists of the best books in category, like mystery thriller, romance, food, business, like that. But the main list encompasses all of those, which just our only real divider for that is to try to have an equal number of fiction and nonfiction. But you'll find young adult on our best of list. You'll sometimes find a graphic novel on our best of list. So it's wide ranging.
Now, is this like a critic's choice, or is this based on total sales of the book through Amazon?
No, it's more like a critic's choice. I mean, I tend not to think of us as critics so much as curators, where we go and we look at everything that comes out in a year and kind of figure out, how they stack up according to our taste, according to our experience as readers. I mean, we've all been, I have five people, so it's six of us, and we are, voracious readers, have read a lot over the years, but it has nothing to do with what's selling or what's not selling. I mean, at a later point in the season, in the middle of December, we sometimes will reveal what the readers are saying, what the best-selling books are, customer favorites, which is always, it's always nice when it bears a resemblance to what we chose, but sometimes there are things that customers discover that we had not discovered.
Sarah, some books come with a lot of promotion, maybe a lot of push behind them, a lot of anticipation. Is there something out there that was really under the radar that caught you or your editors by surprise?
Yeah, well, that's what I love to do, is to find the surprising book, find the book that nobody ever heard of, and then I can feel it. I almost feel it by the time I'm done, I almost feel like I wrote the book. I'm so excited about it. There's a book on our list called Mrs. Engels, which is a historical novel, and I'll tell you what it's about, and you're going to pretend to fall asleep, but it's a historical novel about a woman, a real-life woman who was the illiterate common-law wife of Friedrich Engels, of Marx and Engels, and so she sort of came up and lived in Victorian England and made a mess of Engels' life in a lot of ways. Anyway, it's a very charming novel about class, and it's kind of My Fair Lady, but somewhat more serious.
Well, let's talk about some of the books that are on this best list. Why don't you give us a taste of some of them?
Sure. Well, our number one pick of the year is a book called Fates and Furies by Lauren Groff. It's a novel about a marriage from two points of view, the husbands and the wives. But it's not a linear he said, she said. I mean, it's a very electric, somewhat angry, really interesting look at how people can be married for 20-some years and know so little about each other, have so many secrets. So I think that sort of resonates with people. Our favorite young adult novel of the year is called Ember in the Ashes, which our young adult expert here thinks is going to be the, Harry Potter of its time, that it's going to be the beginning of a series, so slightly dystopic novel about friendship and family and politics and, the fate of the world. There are a bunch of surprises on the list. Mitch Albom, of all people, has a new novel coming out, or just out, called The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto, which is a memoir, novel that sort of pretends to be a memoir of a famous musician, very interesting about music and talent and why people love to play music and love to listen to music. And it's a little bit of a parable, the way Mitch Albom, you know, who wrote Tuesdays with Morrie, always does.
What about in the nonfiction category?
Right.
Self-help, that type of thing or something to the effect.
Right. Well, there are a lot of, this year we had 22 memoirs on 100 books. So it was about half of the nonfiction were memoirs, which is somewhat unusual. Mary Carr, who's sort of famous for writing The Liars Club, wrote a book about writing called The Art of Memoir. There's a really wonderful and unusual book on the top 10 called H is for Hawk, which is a memoir about a woman trying to deal with the grief over the death of her father by learning to be a falconer. So you learn a lot about birds, and you learn a lot about grief. And it's personal, but it's also it's a great sort of science-y book also.
Is there themes that occur, like in movies? We'll see a rash of movies that deal with certain themes or something else that's sort of out there that people suddenly capture either in a movie form. Do books follow that same thing? Is there suddenly one where there seems to be a topic that everybody wants to tell?
Sometimes. I mean, I didn't see it so much this year, though I would say there seemed to be a lot of sort of creative memoirs about creativity. I mean, Elizabeth Gilbert, who's the Eat, Pray, Love woman, wrote a book called Big Magic about you know, creativity. And Mary Carr has this book called The Art of Memoir, about writing memoir. I mean, there are a number of books coming up, actually, that are about sort of seizing your power and being strong. Amy Cuddy has one, Presence, which is coming in the very end of the year, I think. So there do tend to be trends. I mean, I did not see it so much this year in fiction. Some years you do, except the one trend I would say in fiction this year was a lot of very long books, big, big stories. Jonathan Franzen, a book called City on Fire, a book called A Little Life, you know, that are 600, 700, 800 pages, and, you know, try to describe a whole world.
Well, let's talk about the smaller paged books, the ones for kids. Anything out there that stands out that especially for holidays maybe you'd want to get, or a book title you think, okay, that's one that'll have some reading and rereading involved in it?
Right. Right. Well, our favorite book in the middle grade category, also I believe nominated for a National Book Award for tomorrow, is called The Thing About Jellyfish, which is about kids and friendship and what happens when you've been sort of shut out of a certain group, and then tragedy befalls somebody in that group, and you're both sort of sad but also guilty and angry. And it's really about being a kid. I mean, it made me really glad I wasn't 12 years old anymore.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning. People getting the books. It's all about finding out what's new and discovering new worlds. And what is there any authors out there that you may want to spotlight? You think are ones that we should look for in 2015 and 16?
Well, you know, John Grisham has a book. Mitch Albom has a book. I mean, the names are the names for a reason, you know, and their books are always worth looking at, I think.
Right.
Nicholas Sparks has an interesting book this year that's a little bit more of a mystery than his previous books have been. So, I go with the names you know and try somebody new, too.
Sure. Well, that's what is always helpful with the Amazon site, too, because they'll say people who like this book maybe looked at this one or may recommend that. So you kind of have somebody who maybe has a similar way of telling a story or insight that maybe people like. So it's always a good kind of a way for the community to tell you what else to check out. We appreciate your time this morning, Sarah. Thanks for sharing the details.
If people want, thank you.
Thanks.